Good morning, Hope. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Laura.
I'm Brianna.
I'm CJ.
I'm Dave. We've missed seeing our family and church friends over the past year. Hopefully, we will soon start seeing each other as we start regathering.
Have a blessed day.
Good morning, and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us from wherever you are at this day. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship. First, we're asking that you could help us help others. We've been very busy this past year, as I'm sure you could imagine, as needs have risen and we have risen to meet them. And because of that, we have drained our love fund. And so we need your help to continue to replenish it so that we can continue to help those who have come to us in need of assistance. So if you would like to help us do that, please just notate for the Love Fund on any donations that you want to give towards it so that we can make sure we continue to help those in need. And also, following worship today at 11:45, so hopefully we end a little before that so you have time for a break, we are having a Zoom coffee hour. You should have gotten the email this morning or the one that went out on Wednesday. Both of them have the link or the info that you need in order to access that Zoom, and we'll be together for a while. Who needs to put a number on it? We'll be together for a while, so we hope that you'll join us. If you need that info and you haven't gotten it yet, I've already gotten one text this morning, please text me or call me, and I'll forward that to you as best that I can to help out. But we hope you'll join us so that we can all be together and chat as we, and I know we miss one another. Now, let us take a deep breath and still our hearts, our minds, and our souls as we listen to our prelude and prepare for worship.
Now, will you all join me in the call to worship? We praise you, loving and eternal God, for your love of all people, expressed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise you for his commitment to justice, his zeal for true worship of you, and his willingness to replace all other sacrifices with the sacrifice of his own life. In his name, we offer you our worship. Amen. Our opening hymn is Standing on the Promises of God.
Now, as we enter our time of prayer, would you join me in our unison prayer? Loving God, giver of all light and life, you sent Jesus Christ into the world not to condemn but to save. Help us to lift up the light of Christ so that the world might believe in him and receive the gift of eternal life through Christ, the light of the world. Now, as we continue in attitude and time of prayer, let us reflect both silently and musically as we lift ourselves and our concerns up to the Lord. Lord, we gather this day and we lift up much and many. We lift up all those for whom suffering and scarcity is a daily reality. We lift up those who are in pain, pain of the mind, pain of the soul, pain of the body, pain inflicted. Lord, we lift up ourselves. We are complicated beings, each and every one of us, and there is much in our lives that seems at odds with each other. There is joy and hardship. There is celebration and sorrow. We exist, Lord, in the middle of a struggle, and it can be much. It can weigh heavily upon us, threaten to pull us and knock us down. And yet we know that when we ground ourselves in your love, that even if we get knocked down, you help us back up. That even when all the things around us seek to pull on us, you hold and support us. Lord, we know that you are there. We know that you are here. We know that you are with us each and every moment of every day. We know because you came here to be among us, to live as one of us, to have our experiences, to sorrow with us, to laugh with us, to pray with us, to share so much with us. We know that on a seemingly unimportant day, in what was probably a seemingly unimportant place, with those who were considered not important, just an average, everyday moment like many of us have, you were sitting there with your friends, and you said to them, "Hey, prayer is important, you guys." And we, sitting there, looked back at you and said, "How important is prayer?" And you said, "It's so important. Prayer is so important that you should be always in prayer. And that you should surround yourself and ground yourself with prayer. Prayer is so important that I'm going to give you a prayer that you can pray when all other words fail you, when your joy overwhelms you, or when you just want to quickly pray, you can pray these words as we do now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen." Our next hymn is number 267, and we're singing verses 1 through 5. And we invite you to sing with us or to simply hum along and listen as we share these words.
This is the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hopefully you're doing all right. Today we're talking about the love of God and how much God loves us and how far God goes to show us that love. And I have a book, because that's just, I have all these kids' books, you know. I don't know why, but I just do have all these kids' books. And so oftentimes it's really helpful because the books can help me understand things in a different way, so I thought it would help you. So this one, Nora's really into dinosaurs. So that's why I have a lot of dinosaur books. So this one is called Tiny T-Rex and the Impossible Hug. See, look at him. He is so cute. He's so cute. Can't help it. That dinosaur is just adorable. Hello, Pointy. Are you okay? No. Today I feel sad. I do not want to play. Tiny T-Rex and the Impossible Hug. I have tiny arms. It is very difficult to hug with tiny arms. Every day I'm growing taller, but my arms are still tiny. Hugging almost seems impossible for a Rex as tiny as me, but I will try anyway. Pointy needs me. Where's my father? I will ask him for advice. Hello, father. He's on top of his head. He's so tiny. Rexes are thinkers, not huggers. Perhaps instead of hugs, mathematics might be the answer to your problem. It says happiness equals 8x plus 3y plus 2z. You'll learn about that later. Pointy does not like math. Math will only make Pointy feel worse. Hello, Auntie Junip. I have a problem. I must learn how to hug, but my arms are too tiny. I have found that balance is the key to every problem. Balance and freshly squeezed cucumber juice. That is disgusting. I will ask my mother for help instead. Oh, I've fallen and now I'm lost. I do not think I'll find my mother in here. Where did he fall? Oh, there's scissors and a pencil. Hello, mother. He was in the desk drawer. He's so tiny. It's okay if you can't hug, Tiny. You are good at many other things. You are kind and creative and braver than most. You are tiny, but your heart is big. I cannot hug with my heart, Mother. I must learn to hug with my arms. Hello, sister. Hello, brother. Please help me. Hugging is very difficult. We'd love to help, Tiny. T-Rex is playing ping pong. That's silly. To do the impossible, you must plan and practice. 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 Thank you, Trixie and Rory. That is good advice. He finally got the ping pong ball. I will plan my strategy. Got a parachute in this one. I will get stronger. I will practice very hard. I will practice my hugs on everything. See, he hugs a ball, a book, a flower, an ice cream cone. Ooh, he got all dirty on that one. Maybe we shouldn't hug ice cream cones. What's this? He's going to hug it. Ooh, I will not practice on that anymore. He got full of the quills from the cactus. I am almost ready. I will practice one more time. When I am done, I will find my friend. This tree is very big, like pointy. I will hug it. This is not a tree. I have made a mistake. Please help. From up here, everything looks tiny like me. I could hug anything I wanted. Now I am falling. I should not have let go. Now I will never find Pointy! Hello, Pointy. Hello, Tiny. I am here to make you feel better. I have practiced very hard and hugged many things. My arms are still tiny and my hugs are still tiny, but I will do my very best because you are my very best friend. Thank you, Tiny. He's hugging him on the head. That was the biggest hug ever. The end. Sometimes we may feel like there's nothing we can do. We might think we're not big enough or strong enough, or we have nothing to give. But we always have love that we can give to somebody else. And just like Tiny, you might not think it's very much, but even a tiny little hug with all of our heart behind it can help change somebody's day. And God loves us so much that, just like Tiny, God worked at it a lot. And he practiced. Because he loves us. And he comes down here and hangs out with us because he loves us. And just like us, Jesus came as a baby and he grew up. And he had to learn all these things. And he had to work to grow, just like Tiny. So I'm sure even Jesus had to learn at one point how to hug. Even though he was probably very good at it, he had to probably practice, just like we do. And so we have a lot in common with him. And we have in common with him love that we can share with other people. Let us close with a prayer. Lord, thank you for the ability to love other people. Thank you for hugs, whether they be big or small, and for hearts that can share love with everyone that we meet. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Our first lesson this morning comes from the Common English Bible, and I'll be reading from Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. They marched from Mount Hor on the Reed Sea Road around the land of Edom. The people became impatient on the road. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why did you bring us up from Egypt to kill us in the desert, where there is no food or water? And we detest this miserable bread. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit the people. Many of the Israelites died. The people went to Moses and said, "We sinned, for we spoke against the Lord and you. Pray to the Lord so that he will send the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous snake and place it on a pole. Whoever is bitten can look at it and live." Moses made a bronze snake and placed it on a pole. If a snake bit someone, that person could look at the bronze snake and live. May God add a blessing to this reading.
Our second lesson for today comes to us from the Gospel according to John, the third chapter, verses 14 through 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged, because they don't believe in the name of God's only Son. This is the basis for judgment. The light came into the world, and people loved darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do wicked things hate the light and don't come to the light for fear that their actions will be exposed to the light. Whoever does truth comes to the light so that it can be seen that their actions were done in God. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Now, I always get a chuckle when I see that the lectionary text contains John 3:16. Because John 3:16 is one of those scriptures that I think almost everybody knows at this point. They may not know the words, but they know that John 3:16 exists. Because you can't watch, well, not this last year, but, you know, back in the day, you couldn't watch a sporting event without somebody being there with a sign that said John 3:16. John 3:16 is sort of the rallying cry, the mantra, the missional statement of why we do, who left the hymnal up there, of why we do what we do. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him won't perish but will have eternal life. Now those are great words. But what should they inspire us to? Certainly holding up a sign at a sporting event is a good way to start. I mean, people are going to see those words. Maybe they're going to go home and look up those words. See what they have to say. You see, the promise of sporting events is lots of people in one space. It's TV cameras. Sometimes, depending upon the sporting event. It's publicity, a way to get our word out. The promise of sporting events is entertainment. And we must always remember that church is not a sporting event. Church is not supposed to be about entertainment. Church is not supposed to be about pizzazz and flash. Church is supposed to be about John 3:16, that God loved us and sent Jesus to be with us so that we would know more about God. In our scripture today that Colleen read to us from Numbers, we hear about Moses and the snake. And there's all these snakes and they're biting people. And so Moses does what he does best. He prays to God. And he's like, what should I do? A great question. Moses is one of the best at asking that question. God, what should I do? That's like Moses' entire ministry is just asking God, what should I do? And then just relaying that to the Israelites. And then they grumble about it, which I find fascinating. That they know that his whole method of ministry is asking God, what should I do? And then telling them what God said, and they're like, oh man, this is awful. And it's like, well, you asked, I told God, said the things. Okay. But God cares. And so God tells Moses what to do. And he says, put a bronze snake on a pole and put it in the air. And if they get bit by a snake, look at it, and it will help save their life. And it does. And because of that, we actually have one of our modern symbols of medicine. If you look, it's not as easy to find these days, but back in the day, if you were looking for a doctor, you would look for a sign of a snake on a pole, kind of like how barbers used to have the red and white swirly thing, and that was how you knew that person was a healer of some sort, a doctor, because they had the snake and the pole. And so, in John, we learn that just as Moses lifted up that snake, the human one needs to be lifted up, which means he's talking about Jesus. Jesus needs to be lifted up so that everyone who believes can have eternal life. So here in John 3, we are talking about the crucifixion. John's gospel is different than the other gospels because John hits you with the important and hard stuff out the gate. Matthew and Mark and Luke, they all wait. Jesus goes to Jerusalem. Jesus gets in an argument. Jesus talks about dying. It all happens later. But in John's gospel, here it is in the beginning. That Jesus has to be lifted up so that we can live. That we can look upon him, call upon him, follow him, and gain new life. But it's not just about our lives in this world. It's about our eternal lives. It's about following God so that we know we are more than this. You see, in sporting events, it's all about the physical. You gotta have mental toughness, but you gotta have physical toughness. In sporting events, it's all about this world. It's about making it to the playoffs, or making it to the next match, or the championship. In sporting events, the promise is just that you get to play another game. But when it comes to church, when it comes to Jesus, the promise is not about getting to have another church service. There's no preaching playoffs that I found anyway. I don't think there's preach-offs. That'd be an interesting experience. Dueling pulpits? Probably not. The promise of church, the promise of Christ, is new life. And during Lent, this is our challenge, is to ask ourselves, what could our lives be like if we put on this idea that it's about more than us, if we put on this idea that we need each other, and if we put on this idea that there's a higher calling than me, myself, and my contract extension. Jesus comes to save us from ourselves, to wake us from our slumber, and to challenge us to grow up and see things in a new way. He comes to shake us out of our stupor and say, "What are you doing?" And we know that that's why he's here, because it continues in John's Gospel saying, "The light came to the world, but people didn't like the light. They didn't have good actions. They liked the bad more than the good. And so those who don't do good things won't come to the light because they don't want their actions to be exposed." Well, I'm here to tell you today that all of us have things we don't like that we've done. All of us have things we don't want other people to know about, but we must make amends and atone for those things that we've done so that we can move forward. Because whoever does the truth comes to the light so that it can be seen that their actions were done in God. And to do the truth sometimes means to own up to and atone for those things that we've done that were sinful. We have to deal with that injustice that is within that we have caused, because glossing over and pretending like somehow that never happened doesn't fix it. We can't repent of that which we try to bury. We are 1 year out from the taking of the life of Breonna Taylor, and yet there is still no justice that has happened. We, as a society, as a country, and as people, want to just pretend that we can move on and move over everything and get to the next game. We want to pretend that we can just take the loss and move on and try to win in the next week without understanding why we took the loss in the first place. Now, my favorite sporting teams have taken some losses, especially recently. I'm a fan of Kansas City. And they lost Super Bowl. And you know what they did this week? They released their two best linemen. Which is why I'm like, what? So we got that going on. I mean, there's some salary cap stuff, and that's above my pay grade by a long shot. But the team has to evaluate, why did they lose the Super Bowl? What was the weakness that got exploited? Similarly, my favorite basketball team, the Creighton Blue Jays. They took a loss last night to Georgetown. I'm not happy about that. And it wasn't just a loss. It was a shellacking, which is when you get obliterated. It was bad. Like, I went to put Nora to bed, and it was like, we were up, like 13-9. And I was like, we're playing all right. And then I came downstairs, and they'd gone on a 30-5 run. And I was just like, what happened? But now they got to prepare for the next tournament, but they can't do that if they don't look at what happened in the game last night and ask themselves why. Why did we lose? The promise of sporting events is that it gives us opportunity to evaluate. We can evaluate our teams. Lots of Monday morning quarterbacks out there. We can evaluate the things we care about after the fact and say why they went wrong But we must always remember that we have to do that for ourselves, that we have to evaluate how we got off track so that we can move forward. Not move forward by burying, but move forward by dealing with, recognizing, and actually taking care of those things that caused us to have those problems, that caused us to be agents of, complicit in, or ignoring of injustice. We gain life through love, but the qualifier is 19 through 21. That we then have work to do. God loves us so much that He gave Christ so that we could believe in Him and wouldn't perish but have eternal life. And Christ loves us so much that while He was here, He challenged us to remember that that means there's work to do. The moment or the journey of salvation in your life is important. And all of it reminds us that we have to do the work. The promise of sporting events is also the healthy reminder that we do have to remember it is a journey. We have the reminder that all those people holding up John 3:16 signs shared a little bit of the good news. And that maybe that could start somebody on their journey, but that we, here in our daily lives and in the trenches, are called to help others on that journey. Perhaps one of your neighbors or one of your friends for the millionth time saw a John 3:16 sign and said, I'm going to look that up and see what that means. And they ask you a question. What does this mean? Our job is to then take that moment and help others on that journey. Our job is to remember that this is not about show and flash, but it is about our friends and our neighbors. That it is about those who have not heard and those who don't know what it means to look up because they spend their whole life being told to look down. Our challenge is to remember always that God loves us so much that we are challenged to love others that much as well. Our challenge is to remember always that whether it's Lent, Easter, or just that in-between time in the summer when we're not sure if we're going to go to church or not because it's kind of hot outside and we don't even have air conditioning, that our challenge and our task is to grow with God and to help others grow as well. John 3:16 is the beginning, but it should not be for us or anyone else the end of what it means to live faithfully. Because God loves us so much that He calls us to more than just getting by. Amen. Our next hymn is number 206. So would you please join with us as you are able. Now as we come to our time of offertory, let us pause in a moment of silent reflection as we give up of ourselves, our gifts, our prayers, our service, our witness, our gifts to the Lord. Let us engage in a moment of reflection. Now would you stand as you are able, or stand in spirit as we join in singing our doxology. Gift. Teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you, not with our words only, but with our whole lives. Amen. As you continue on your journey, remember that you are not in it alone, that we are called to support one another, that we are called to grow one another. Remember that it is okay to ask for help, and it is okay to give help. And remember, above all else, that no matter what, no matter how long it's been or how recent since you've heard the good news, no matter how long it's been or how recent since you've been to church, if ever, know that no matter who you are and where you are, God loves you. Amen. Let us join in our Lenten benediction response.